You're listening to the PR Windown Podcast, the show for public relations professionals who are ready to see real change in the PR industry. We are your hosts, April White and Laura Schooler. Let's get ready to wind down.
All right, so Laura, are you eating an Oreo?
I'm eating an Oreo.
But you actually took it apart and you're eating the frosting bit. That's adorable. What did you, eat the other piece by itself? Just plain chocolate, no frosting? Do you always take them up? You always take them apart?
I guess.
Have you done that since you
I'm like, I go into like a zone. I don't even know what's going on. I'm just
eating
an Oreo.
The Oreo, like your subconscious took over.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Your child self just took over. And Laura is now on the podcast for everyone that's not on video eating an Oreo with the frosting side up and the other part missing.
I ate the whole thing. I ate six of them while we've been doing this.
That is really something. Okay. All right. Do you want to finish eating your Oreos before I let in our guest?
I don't ever want to finish eating my Oreos. So.
Okay. So I'll just let her in. All right, so our guest today is Ranjini Joshua. Our longtime listeners will recognize Ranjini as one of our favorite repeat guests. She's the founder of the Silver Telegram PR Agency and here today to discuss trends and predictions for the state of PR in 2024. And we are very excited to have her back. Welcome, Ranjini.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy 2020.
We got jazz hands.
I know.
That was amazing.
Happy 2024. I'm not sure. When we start talking, we'll see.
Same.
It's happy.
Same.
Yeah.
What in the world is happening?
It's insane. I don't know if it's good or bad or what. I'm just like watching it unfold in front of me.
Yeah. Are you seeing things start to pick up again? Or are you still hearing a lot of people running out of PR budget or deciding to cut it for the year?
I feel both of those things. It's like I see, you know, the tech layoffs. We work in tech so much. And then on the other hand, I'm seeing people like looking and scrounging for PR services. So I think it's just a different type of PR that they're looking for. And, you know, most of the time when people are looking for PR, they don't even know they're looking for PR.
Even bigger brands that I've been talking to that I would automatically assume can't not have budget for PR somehow don't.
Yeah. Well, they're calling it something else. They're putting it in the marketing bucket, you know, and then they're saying, oh, well, we need to do content development. Well, that's also PR. That's not necessarily not PR. So they're just, everybody's shuffling things around to make it sound good so that they can give it budget. And so the term PR is just like tossed to the side, even though
always the first to get cut and the last to be added back in when things get tough.
I've been feeling like either things are staying flat, and this is what I've been seeing, or they're going down. And we want you to do like traditional media relations. Oh, and also events and speaking. Oh, and also awards. Oh, and also, can you give us a strategy? And also, so they're taking, like you said, all these things that may or may not be PR in people's minds, and they just keep throwing it into the crate of that's limited.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much time and so much money in this one bucket. You can't just keep throwing things into it. So that's
I think they're getting desperate. I had this really good conversation with a journalist, and he basically said, like, look, content has always been king, and we all know this. And he's like, look, I think it's going to be up to brands to start creating their own media and media hubs and stuff like that. And I remember a long, long time ago, I worked with HP, and they had their own, I don't know if it was like a magazine necessarily, but they had, it was like newsletters before newsletters were hot, you know, and they had articles and white papers and case, and this whole media hub. And so that's his prediction was, and I kind of feel the same way, but was that brands need to make their own media hubs because of media distrust. And also because they're spending so much more emphasis on what they call marketing, which is content creation and development, that if we can help them get attention to those places. Because, you know, at the end of the day, our job is really just to bring the public to their content. And so I think his thought was, hey, as a former journalist, I'm saying, like, I think these brands need to create their own media hubs. Mm-hmm. But traffic is expensive, and it's really hard to get people, you know, to go over to somewhere that they've never been before. And so I don't know if that means Google Ads is going to be a thing again. I don't know.
The biggest thing I see is that PR suffers because the metrics are a lot shakier than the other pieces of marketing. Mm-hmm. But the downside of companies focusing too much on their own content development is that where's the credibility building coming?
Yeah.
And that's PR is the only part of marketing that can do it. So if you put all your eggs into content marketing and developing your own media hub or your own magazine, I actually talked to a pet company at Super Zoo that had made their own magazine and spent the money there instead of PR. And that's all fine and well, but then how does that build your credibility? Because everyone knows that you're the one putting it out there and paying for it.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
There was a huge swing in that direction in, like, I don't know, 2000, what I want to say, 14 or 15,
yes.
I felt like.
Yes.
Where companies were like, we're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to do social media, and that's, and we're not even going to do press releases anymore. And it was like, well, wait a second. Like, that's not PR. That's advertising.
Yeah. Right. Sponsored posts, whatever. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, I wonder though, because one of the things was like distrust in the media. That was one of the concerns was, okay, how do you build credibility when no one trusts what's happening in the media anyway? And then the media has no more staff. Like, where are they all going? Like, I don't understand how the media even plans to survive if they are cutting everybody. And we still want content. It's just, we want it in a different format. So it seems like some of the traditional media hubs, like some of them are jumping on to create new formats, and then the other ones are just giving up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're becoming less. And so now there's more demand, and it's harder for us to do our job.
So what's going to replace that credibility building factor? Influencers?
Yeah. Oh God. Don't say the I word.
I know. I mean, I hear you because you're paying for them too, and they're all bought and paid for, right? So is that really helping? But do people still view them as credible?
So wait, April, did you read that story? I think I slacked it to you the other day about, I think it's CUNY, the City University of New York, has a journalism school, like, you know, professional, like master's level, that's relatively new, like past 10 years or less, maybe even. And they are really focused on bringing back the journalism to journalism, to the point, and I might, I'm going to look this up while we're talking. There was a way to apply to the school for free. And they're also building up an endowment to give people free tuition.
You found the article. Do you want to
tell? Oh yeah. So 10 million gift sets Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism on path to free tuition. So they're trying to get there
to ensure, bring journalism back.
Yes, like real journalism back, to become the first top tier graduate journalism school in the U.S. to offer fully free tuition to its entire student body. Is what they're trying to do.
It's incredible.
And they believe that journalism is a public service. A service that is essential to our democracy, then we need to eliminate the barriers that stand between the people who want to go into journalism and a successful career in news media, said the dean. If academic institutions are able to do this somehow, that might be one of the ways, probably not the only way, to get news back to being news. The other thing that I was thinking and read the other day, you know, the relatively new outlet called Semaphore. Have you read Semaphore? Mm. At first, I was like, this is so boring and whatever. And it's just global and it's this bit. But then I was reading something and I was like, maybe they're right. This is what like news used to be when I was young. And I was like, oh God, news is so boring. You know, your parents would watch the news. And you'd be like, who wants to watch this? So it's boring in a good way though, because it's not like something taken aside and Tucker
sensational.
Carlson. Yeah. Hour or whatever. It's talking about big, complex issues in a high level way. But will they go the way of what's the publication that just totally went out of business? The Messenger. They came up and then they were like out of business. So how do these new news operations stay in business too, right? So anyway, this gives me some hope that somebody was like, we got to do something and this is what we should do. We need, you know, we need to give education, real education to people. And it can't only be reserved for, you know, rich people, basically.
Right.
But it still has to be a profession that people make money at. So, oh, great, you get free tuition. But
yeah, you're a journalism, like you have a graduate degree in journalism, but you can't get a job.
Or it pays 30 a year or something, you know, 30K.
Well, it's like teaching.
It really has kind of gone into the public service, right? Like teaching or law enforcement, where you're not really paid anything, but it's like a sense of duty, you know, to society.
Right. You're bringing the news to people, like you're, you know, deciding what matters. I mean, I also feel like that too. I feel like PR has come to a spot, like even with some of the clients that we work with, like I really have to like navigate them a lot more than we used to. People used to know what was news and what wasn't, I feel like. And now it's like everything is news and it's not. I've noticed that we've had to navigate more and more clients in the right direction rather than just, I mean, this is also like a startup thing where they're drinking their own juice and they just think they're hot stuff. But I think a lot of people think PR people are just still spinsters and like, you know, like we're just spinning everything. And I think we do. We should also have that sense of duty too. To
yes, because we're supporting, say it the right way. Right. Yeah. We're supposed to be supporting the journalists doing the work.
Yeah. And you know, there's that weird 50-50 kind of thing where it's like half of the journalists love PR people and half of them hate them. So there's that.
Yeah.
I wonder if perhaps some of the people who go through this Newmark J School become journalists, but also are motivated to change the industry once they get there.
You'd hope, right? You'd like to think so.
I do think there's hope. Because they're setting this out and it's such a positive thing.
Yeah.
That you're going to get people who are on that same positive wavelength and hopefully that whole positivity will prevail, right?
Yeah. I mean, my biggest concern about this year, going back to 2024 predictions and trends, is that it's an election cycle.
Yeah.
Which means a couple of things. One is that if the news media leans too heavily in one direction politically, it will further harm their credibility with, let's say, half the population, maybe, I don't know, let's say half. So that's one concern. The other concern is what happens if sociopolitical issues start going back into the mainstream and suddenly all of our clients are like, oh, should we jump on the bandwagon?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Because you know, we've had those cycles in the past and then all of a sudden they, you know, jump in feet first into an issue that they don't have any track record of supporting because they feel like, oh, we're supposed to now. And it's like so politically charged and it's an election year.
Yeah.
And you don't have any credibility built that you actually support this issue because you haven't until just this moment in time. Which to me always, I feel like can backfire pretty badly, like Budweiser. You know, you can't just like out of nowhere, right? Like, oh, now we support this thing, even though all of our brand history says otherwise.
Right.
It's like, it just looks so disingenuous. And
we've been doing PR, the three of us, right? We've been doing PR for a long time. There are a lot of noobs, right? And you don't know what they're going to advise to their clients because a lot of new people just came out of school and started doing freelance PR. Like they never worked for an agency. They didn't get like the crazy fire thrown at them that I feel like I got when I started doing PR. So they don't have a lot of that background of these cyclical things that we're experiencing. And so you don't know where these like junior PR people are going to steer a lot of these brands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're cheaper and they talk a good game. I've talked to a lot of them. They talk a good game, so you think they know what they're doing, and then they hit a roadblock, and then they might not steer you in the right direction. So that's also something that I think people have to be careful of. I don't want to be ageist or anything, but like at least as far as experience goes, you need to have someone with a solid background of experience of working with others, you know. And I feel like so many people just went into solopreneurship, you know, because of COVID and all that stuff, and that's caused a problem in our industry where not everybody knows enough.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
I've seen it too. I had a junior person that worked for me and then decided to go out on her own after, you know, figuring out media relations in 6 months or something.
Oh, good.
Started like pitching everyone. Right. And I think did all right. But the question becomes, right, without all of that experience of knowing what the potential pitfalls are and things like that, you're not going to be able to have the foresight to see that you're about to run your client off a cliff until you do, right? And so the problem with that is, oh, cool, somebody cheap and young and excited and enthusiastic, and why not hire them instead of the full agency with like senior people that costs, you know, X amount of, you know, thousands of dollars in retainers a month, right? But then the downside is that, or if they run into a roadblock and they're not getting the story through, they don't necessarily have the tricks of the trade to know how to pivot and try a different angle or exactly what's not landing. And so it damages the credibility of PR as well. So it's almost like PR is, it has a little bit of a credibility crisis happening in addition to
our own credibility crisis. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not just PR, right? Like you said, we talked about journalism. I think every industry, because of the COVID situation, we all have these like weird.
The medical industry.
Everybody, right? It's like all kind of wonky right now, and we have to rebuild the credibility. And maybe that means people in our position have to do better. You know, I don't know. Maybe we have to kind of set a little bit more of an example, more than we would have normally, I think. Yeah. And we have to be more flexible, I think, to new stuff. And that's what I've been seeing mostly for trends, is that I am exploring different kinds of ways to publish credible content, or we're talking to them, how do we build them as an expert in a different kind of way? Not just, you know, writing an article. Are we speaking on podcasts? Are we doing webinars with other influencers? We have to be really, right now, I think, very nimble to stay relevant.
I agree. Yeah. Anyway, any other final thoughts on that before I ask our famous final question?
I don't know. Good luck, everyone. May the force be with us, with us all.
All right. So you already know our famous last question, which is a choose your own adventure. So 2-part question. One is there something that we didn't ask you that we should have, that you want to talk about, that's on your mind and you're passionate about? And or is there something you want to ask us since we did all the question asking?
It is famous, but I forgot it. I have an answer for both of those. Can I do both of them?
Yeah, you can do both.
Okay. Well, first thing is, I am very, very excited about, we are starting a new podcast in April.
Woo!
And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a convergence of like lifestyle, tech, and a little bit of like random stuff. So it's called Sweet Startups. It's about startup tech, PR. Well, not PR, but startup tech. Business. So I'm really excited about that. So April 1st, we're launching. And it's not a joke. There's going to be desserts involved. That's all I need to say. That's my, what is it called? Not a teaser. Noodle.
Teaser.
Yeah, but it's called something.
Carrot.
Carrot. That's it.
Noodle.
Is it carrot cake?
You know, you lead horses with a noodle. You know, that's where that comes from, right?
Carrot. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's my carrot. Desserts are involved. So that's going to be really fun.
Wow.
And then the question I have for you is, we talked about trends, but like you personally, what have you guys seen that has made a difference with people, with clients, made them feel warm and fuzzy about PR?
So I would say on the consumer side, and unfortunately this doesn't apply as much on the tech B2B side.
Yeah.
But on the consumer side, wherever you can integrate influencer relations and affiliate marketing, then you're in better shape. Because if the affiliate marketing program is heavily linked to PR, it's easier to track results. The ROI is more obvious. Same with influencer relations. So we've actually had a couple clients that money is a concern right now. The cash flow is tight. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to stay with us, but they wanted to pivot to influencer relations because there's a quicker, you know, return on investment financially. So if you invest the money in influencers, the money gets back in the bank a lot faster than with PR. And also you can see it more clearly.
But this is consumer PR, you're saying.
Yeah. On the B2B tech side, I think people are still really happy when they get awards.
Yes, everyone is.
They're really happy when they get awards.
Yeah.
And I know it's a little bit of a pay to play thing, but it's, again, it's like, oh, okay, we put, you know, this money in, we get this badge on our email on our website, and
Yay.
Makes them feel great. And it's like helpful for them for sales.
Yeah. Anything that can support sales. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still see that. And I've been doing a lot of professional services. So a lot of thought leadership, you know, and people, I just see that getting, you know, media interviews that turn into media hits, just the old school people are psyched about that.
So final thoughts before you let people know where they can find you and anything else you want to plug on your way out.
Don't forget about PR. That's the only thing I have to say. If you don't exist online, you don't exist.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Well, it's always a pleasure. You can find me on LinkedIn, actually. It's probably the easiest place. Ranjini Joshua. There's really only one of me. So if you just Google me, I'm all over the place. And then thesilvertelegram.com is our website. And look for sweetstartupspodcast.com.
Awesome. Love it. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you again. It's always a pleasure. We look forward to having you again soon. And yes. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too.
Okay. Bye.
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 It's always so much fun having Ranjini. She's so bubbly and high energy and smart and
not afraid to say what she thinks.
No, I love it. I love everything about it. She's one of my favorite people. So are you ready to jump into the news segment now?
I guess so. What are we talking about?
So today we're talking about a story that was in Morning Brew about how companies are using every term under the sun in the thesaurus to say anything but you're fired. I mean, this is an interesting story to me because there are so many people getting laid off now, you know?
In tech.
Everywhere.
Financial, UPS. Yeah.
Everywhere. And so essentially every company is trying to drop the harsh sounding fired from the vocabulary and replace it with euphemisms like involuntary career event and right sizing, even though it doesn't change the outcome and it's clearly the same thing. So Citi described cutting 20,000 jobs in November as creating a, quote, simplified operating model. And UPS said its 12,000 layoffs were an attempt to, quote, fit our organization to our strategy.
Yeah, that I've heard that one before.
Yeah. So there was a Stanford professor, Robert Sutton, who compared the use of this soft language to jargon monoxide.
That's funny.
It's intended to assuage the person receiving the acts, but may actually have the opposite effect because you're getting this weird, wait, so I'm fine. What is that? Can you imagine?
Right.
So can you imagine going in and they're like, so we're creating a simplified operating model. And that means as of Tuesday, and you're like, so I'm fired, like, but you didn't say, but I'm, it'd be so confusing depending on how badly it was used. And then it's caused a lot of social media backlash.
Right.
So of the tens of thousands of people laid off so far this year, some have filmed themselves receiving the bad news, posted the awkward conversation on social media, sending the TikTok hashtag layoffs to nearly 400 million views.
Yeah, did you see this video, this Britney?
No, the 9-minute one, did you?
I watched it, yes.
So just to set the stage, a Cloudflare employee who was fired, Britney Pietsch, I think. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She did a 9-minute video when she was laid off and it went viral in January. So Laura, tell us about this video since I didn't see it.
She's at her desk at her home office and two HR type people at her company had scheduled a meeting with her and she knew that some people were getting laid off. So she was kind of prepared for what was coming.
Uh-huh.
And it was two people who she had never talked to in her life who started telling her this stuff. And she was like, but why? I've only been working here for 3 months. I was told by my manager that I was doing a good job. She was like in sales or something, which, you know, can take months, right? Made some inroads. I haven't closed anything, but it takes time. And I'm at the point where, I think I'm getting somewhere. And my manager, she kept saying, my manager, who's not on this call, told me I was doing a good job. And now you're telling me that I don't have a job, but why? But it kept going around in circles. And these people had their talking points. And to their credit, they kind of kept their cool. I don't know how. But they kept sort of recycling the same, you know, talking points. And they finally were like, well, we don't have the specifics. And like, we don't know. And she was like, well, why are you talking to me then? she really put their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
I've had it happen to me too. I mean, I credit the younger generations for putting people's feet to the fire like that, because I don't think very many people did it before. Mm-hmm. And those who did, they would just write them off as lunatics. But now, with so many people doing it and putting it on video, as she did, to prove that she wasn't a maniac, you know, it wasn't a story about he said, she said, you get to see the original layoff or right-sizing, whatever they were calling it. And the CEO of Cloudflare came out and said, you know, this was not done right. We need to do better. He didn't say we shouldn't have let her go.
We shouldn't have done it right.
But he did say we should do it better. It is the employees forcing the companies to really rethink how they communicate. And HR, you know me and my point of view on most HR, HR is not equipped to message this stuff.
It's like an attempt at PR that backfired, PR-wise.
No pun intended, right? Backfired. Yeah. I almost think in reading
it
this...
back right-sized.
Right. It's almost, to me, like it's less insulting just to come to the table and be like, look, we're letting you go. And it could be because we need to conserve our money, and so we have to let people go. Or I know it was a lot to ask, but we needed somebody to like bring money in the first 6 weeks and you didn't do it. I mean, just be completely honest. Why are we coming up with words and terms?
Because of legal reasons.
See, so it's the lawyers who are always probably to blame.
They're to blame.
I mean, what do you do?
Well, you don't want to get sued for a wrongful termination. So if you eliminate a position or you right size or things like that, you cover yourself. So yeah, it's a lot of CY happening.
I've had it happen where they reorganize the whole organization and said, oh, your job doesn't exist anymore. So that people would sue for, you know, reasons of gender or age or race or whatever it was.
Yep. That's why.
So now I'm going to retract a little bit. Maybe it wasn't HR who messaged this. Maybe it was the lawyers who messaged it. And that is a problem.
I think so. I think it's the lawyers.
I think you're right.
And then they're sticking it, they're handing it down to HR, and HR has to do it because...
that's their job. Yeah. But they have to use this script with these words
that
aren't suable offenses or whatever.
That's exactly right.
And they can't really give real answers to their employees. Mm-mm. So I don't know if there's any way around it.
I don't think so, other than maybe just doing a little extra brainstorming on a way to phrase it that doesn't sound convoluted and sounds a little bit more direct without putting your company at legal risk.
Right. Can you just say we're doing layoffs and you're unfortunately part of that layoff?
It'd be better if you just say something straightforward instead of involuntary career event.
Right sizing.
I mean, at the end of the day, everybody knows that a layoff is a layoff. So,
right.
even though UPS, you know, is fitting their organization to strategy, it's like, okay, but yeah, but 12,000 people were laid off. So
I know. Well, and not probably coincidentally, after the UPS union made huge advances in salaries and other benefits for their workers. And then a few months later, they're like letting 12,000 of them go. So where they won, they also have now lost. And they probably have to use some of those terms so that the union doesn't have a grounds to sue them or whatever they might do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blame the lawyers.
It's the lawyers' fault. But yeah, but I think PR people and especially internal communications people still need to, wherever possible, push back or have a dialogue with the legal team and say, hey, I can't say it. Like, this is not going to fly. What can we say that doesn't sound this bizarre, that sounds more authentic?
Yeah,
that still doesn't get us in trouble.
The CEO of Cloudflare said, we should have made sure that this woman's manager was also on the call. I mean, you need somebody that the person actually works for or with or has met on the line, not just some faceless person on the phone. And this also might be a case for why working remotely isn't always the best idea, because she's just sitting on like this phone Zoom call, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it enables her to be able to record it. If she walked into a room, in a conference room at the company, because she really pulled out her phone and like videotaped it, that would have been way more awkward. But she's sitting in her kitchen or her bedroom. She could do whatever she wants, right?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, though, it's nice because then you don't have to leave the room and stay composed. You can just turn your camera off and have whatever reaction you have. And now I have to go back to the, you know, seeing like the sea of people looking at you, walking back to your desk and put all your stuff in a box. And you know what I mean? In a way, it's like, yeah.
Well, so the other thing I want to tell everybody out there is I know people are freaking out because so many people are losing their jobs. I have been through many right sizings and downsizings and organizational reorganizations. It just happens all the time. You will find another job and it will probably happen again. So this is why probably the younger generations have banded together to fight against some of the issues that I used to get so mad about. Yeah, we're like, well, that's just the way it is. They are saying, no, it is not just the way it is.
Do you have any final thoughts on the implications for publicists or internal communicators, given the new story we just talked about?
Publicists. Well, in PR, in terms of how these bad firings and layoffs are impacting the images of the companies. Yeah, I think that the communications people, be they internal or external, need to get very much more involved with legal and HR and really figuring out a way that's straightforward and kind of ripping the Band-Aid off without getting them into legal trouble.
Yeah, agreed.
And somebody who the employee knows needs to be a part of their being let go from the company.
And if you're at an agency and you need to be communicating with your client and ideally making sure they give you a heads up if this thing is happening, so you're also at the ready for whatever comes at you following it.
Right. How are we going to respond if this happens to our client in the media, on probably responding on social media? Right. Or maybe
and
you don't.
And can we give advice about, hey, can we talk to the legal team and see if there's a way to finesse the language so this doesn't sound so convoluted and bizarre kind of thing, right? All right. So on that note, let's say au revoir to our listeners for the day and say thank you so much for tuning in for the PR Wind Down podcast. And thank you also to Ranjini for joining us for a great interview as always. Remember to submit your own agency stories and questions and share our show with your friends and colleagues. If you subscribe and leave us a rating, it will help us reach new listeners like you. Can't wait to wind down with you again next time.
It's like, I mean, my parents still don't know what I do. You know, they still think I do advertising. So who knows?
Like, I know my mom does that too sometimes. She's like, have you ever thought about placing an ad for, I'm like, all right, never mind. I'm not even like, yeah, it's a good idea. It's a great idea.